Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Ashwini.
Good morning, Chris. So good afternoon. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much, and same to you. And it's nice to be given permission to go way over the top with gratitude. So
yes, absolutely.
Every day is a day to be grateful, but here we are with a chance to just really go at it. So always good.
And to celebrate that with Sangha today.
Exactly.
In this way.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That is way over the top, isn't it? So. Mm-hmm. All right. Hold on here. I navigate to our assignment. All right, so the assignment from yesterday is there a duality operating that you can identify? In the assignment, rearrange the voices on each side of the duality. Which aspect of ego do you see on each side? RL. Example, one side. This is the most important thing in my life. I just need to try harder, more practice, more recordings. Sincere. Second side, is it possible that practice can't help me in this situation? Doubting Thomas, Thomasina. All right. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Celia in Seattle.
Hi, Celia. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hi.
What are you thinking about duality?
Well, I'm really happy to be looking at this. So I'm looking at my sitting practice, and there's all the dualities seem to have a variation of either I'm not doing enough yet, or I shouldn't be doing anything at all. It just that's it.
Yes, it's always those polarities, right, Celia?
Yeah.
Either it's not enough or it's why bother?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Go
ahead.
So I'm just very happy to see that because what it points me to is, wait a minute, this is a practice. It's not, it has nothing to do with either of those dualities. It's just a practice, and that's
exactly.
Very reassuring. Yeah.
Yes. Well, and what you're saying, right, Celia, is the awareness that, so first of all, at the content level, there's an awareness that what you're doing is practicing. So, you know, whatever you're supposed to have, wherever you're supposed to have gotten to, that you're not able to because you haven't done enough, and so why bother and quit? Is at the content level not relevant because what you're doing is sitting. You're not trying to get anywhere sitting. And on the process level, what you're doing is not listening to those conversations. That is your practice. It has nothing to do with what those voices are saying because your practice is not listening to them.
Yeah, good point.
Right?
Yeah.
It is to be able to sit and be present with whatever you're sitting with, right?
Yeah.
Noticing the voices and coming back here, or being here for your intimacy with the intelligence that animates and learning to be present to that. That's what your practice is, not to get anywhere or to listen to those voices.
Yeah, that's good because as I'm sitting, I do have distractions come up one after the other. And then going back to the breath, so it isn't as though I'm sitting in some kind of la-la land.
Yeah.
But I notice that if I do continue with that practice, when I get off the cushion, I'm just much clearer. So it's got to be okay.
Well, and it's a very important, several things you said, Celia, right, about meditation, that what we are told is that you must have a particular experience in meditation. So the fact that we don't is a an interesting way to examine that belief, right? Because I'm going to my experience over my beliefs. That's also my practice. Because while I sit, what I'm as Sherry says in that beautiful video about there are no the secret is there are no secrets, is that there isn't an experience of meditation we're trying to get to. And what we're here to do in the sitting practice is to see and see through all of our karmic social conditioning. And so that's what you're doing. And then the voices come in and tell you, well, you have some distractions. So are you sure you're meditating in the right way? Are you sure you're having the right experience? And then you recalibrate too. No, I'm here in order to be able to pay attention. And the only reason we know we have distractions is because we're present.
Hmm.
Right?
Yes.
We watch it. We watch the attention move away. Suddenly we become aware. Oh, my attention wandered, but it's awareness that's registering the attention wandering. And so then I bring my attention back here to awareness rather than go away with the thought. And that's all what ever doing. So if you're getting more and more skilled in your ability to notice attention wandering and then bringing the attention back, you're practicing and getting good at the thing that's going to make a difference, right? That I can always do that. I can be here with anything in life.
Yeah, I love that. I do. And when I'm able to do that, then I actually do love life. It's when I'm not
That's
doing
right.
that I don't love life.
Or that the attention is on an experience that is the absence of love, right? So we take the person out of it completely.
Mm.
I'm here in a process which is love, or my attention is not on that process, and so I am aware of the absence of it, which assists me to bring me back here.
Mm. Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Take care. Happy Thanksgiving, Celia.
Thank you, Celia. And Ashwini, that was great. And one of the first things you said really struck me was, if we aren't listening to the voices, there's no way that I can be in a duality, that they just lose their power at that point. I might be aware of a duality, but there's no way that I'll be in it thinking that my self-worth hangs in the balance on what choice I make.
That's such a good point, Chris. Absolutely. That's the difference between seeing through conditioned mind and looking at conditioned mind. I'm aware of the duality, but I'm not believing that I am in a duality.
Yeah. And then in that expanded place of awareness, we can begin to see more of how we're fooled or bamboozled into, you know, moving back into a duality. So if I'm in a duality, it's always, for me, it's always like a leading indicator that I'm identified. And time to check out my sources at that point. Yeah.
Check your sources, yes. And get back to the cushion, right?
Back to the cushion. Perfect. All right. Oh, hold on here. Next caller, you're now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Ashwini. Hi, Chris. It's Ramita in South Carolina.
Hey, Ramita. What are you seeing?
Hello. I'm seeing how completely, well, ego really, really loves taking control of my practice. And even that phrase, my practice, it's making practice all about me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's either...
Well, anything you care about.
Yes. So it's taken the most precious thing that I have, I know, and using it to cause suffering. I'm either the best Zen student or the worst And it just ping-pongs me back and forth when I pass through center to one end or the other.
Mm. Yeah, so you're the best or the worst, and that's the duality that is being offered to you. And I would project, right, that that what it believing that process and being in the suffering is one way of being talked out of doing the practice, right?
Yes, yes. It's what happens on both ends of it is the human being gets isolated and can't share either, you know, I'm the best, because we know that's hubris, and I'm supposed to do it on my own. I'm supposed to do it the best on my own. And if I'm convinced, listening to the story of there's an airplane going over, hope that's not interfering. The other end of the spectrum, the worst, not good enough in practice, I can't let anyone know that because of the shame involved.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so the human being is left out of the process because the attention is on believing the story. And the way in which that manifests in isolation for you is if you're the best, you don't need to participate. And if you're the worst, you can't share what's going on for you anyway. And what I project that leaves us with is how much we identify with conditioned mind, right? Because mm-hmm. unless I'm believing mm-hmm. that, it's not true.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's you know, when I'm here, I recognize that, you know, waking up is what life is doing. Awareness practice is what, it's not my job to do. It's something that I participate in, and there is no me involved.
Mm. Well, here's something I might, you know, just look at, right, Lumita? Because when we're here, we know what life is about. It's not a contest. It's the process of waking up. And it seems to me then it's very clear where the practice is, which is when you're not here.
The practice is when I'm not here. That's... Yeah, then I practice coming
right
back to here.
Well, it's a little more subtle than that. The only way you don't know you're not here is the process that we do of whatever, you know, a process map or a recording or whatever it is that allows awareness to be aware of when the attention is on ego and there's an identification. So if I hear the voices say to me, well, you're already the best done student. You don't have to do any more practice. That, as Chris just said, is a leading indicator of identification. And so that's when I want the awareness to be expanded enough to be able to come back to the breath or here. And that's where we train, right? So if you hear a voice that says, you can't say anything because you're the worst, that would be the time when you pick up the recorder or get on a call and actually say what's going on for you, because that would be the only way you would experience yourself as here and not what the voices are. You're not alone.
Yes.
You are. You've just created the bridge into connection.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, so that's the practice, being getting on the call, putting myself in the queue, and outing whatever the, if I'm paying attention to the conversation, say what's taking attention is the way to reveal it for what it is and get into the process of awareness rather than the process of identification.
To reveal the lie to yourself,
mm-hmm.
To reveal the lie of the identification, right? Because you're not the best and you're certainly not the worst. But mm-hmm. really what you're not is the I that believes one or the other. And that's what we're proving to ourselves in every moment.
Yes, yes. There's so much more to who I am. Well, yeah, I'm all of awareness.
Or as we would say, the awareness is all of you.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
More practice. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Happy Thanksgiving. Go happy.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ramita. I'm not seeing a way to mute. There we go. And Shwini, I was looking at that in that conversation, looking at how duality, in order for that to seem real, it's really required that we go back and forth between the sides. And
yeah.
So, as you were talking about, almost any practice tool that we can pick up that prevents that slide back and forth then kind of does pull us back into that place of awareness,
mm,
you know,
yeah.
where we
yeah.
can see a little clearer what's going on.
Mm. Yeah.
And
yeah. It that, almost it to what I think what you're pointing at, right, Chris, is an awareness of being on. The awareness of being identified is our biggest clue to disidentify. And so however we could practice training ourselves in that dimension, it's very helpful. It's what we're doing. The only reason to see and know how ego operates is the ability for awareness to know that and then take that next step of disidentification.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yep. And that if I'm identified, chances are I'm in a duality. I think it just works that way, right? There'll be the focus of attention will be on content, and I'll be in the world of duality, and moving with conditioned mind and suffering. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. Here is our next caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Monica.
Hey, Monica.
Hi, Ashwini. Hi, everyone. So I'm super excited about being on the call. And I don't know if it was the whole way that the year-long was laid out or kind of how it led to this last focus of practice, but I've been excited to see that that with practice, I'm not really hearing a lot of voices. Like, I'm just really in this place of gratitude for practice, and just like when I try to listen to what's going on, it's all about like, God, I'm just so thankful that I have practice, that I know of practice, that I, you know, just
uh-huh.
like, it's just like, I just can't imagine life without it. And so mostly it's just really been nothing but gratitude and how awesome it is.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And what a wonderful experience, right, Monica? I mean, we are trying to end suffering here. So if we have joyous experience, let's go with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And almost it was just like maybe I'm not paying enough attention if I can't hear any ego voices. So,
yeah.
You know, it's always kind of there, but what I think you just said on this call was like being aware of the duality but not being in the duality is the freedom. Like,
yeah.
The dualities exist, but to be able to just, I don't know, I just feel super grateful, and I just can't express how much my life has changed from
yes.
just having the framework, no matter how I get sucked in or stuck or resistance or any of those things, of course, still happen, but just to understand it isn't even the right word, but to, yeah, just be able to have practice.
Yes. Well, and several things, right, Monica? At this point, it's not arising for you. The content is not up as a place of suffering. And one of my favorite places is if you're not suffering over it, you don't have to, you don't have to look at it, right?
Yeah.
Let's look at what I'm suffering over. Because
yeah.
that is going to be there at some point.
Yes.
What you said is so true that there is a way in which after consistent practice, we have that, we can rest in that beautiful awareness of how we're able to be with anything. We have the framework, we have the tools, and therefore we know whatever arises, there's a way for us to be with it, and there's tremendous gratitude in that. It really is, because we know how our life is different from when it was, when none of those things were available to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
There
mm-hmm.
was just pure suffering. Now, my portfolio is suffering sometimes and awareness a lot of the time. And if I am in suffering, I have absolutely all of the ways in which I could get back to a sense of well-being.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I wanted to just say one thing about this isn't so much a suffering, but something that I'm noticing in practice of like, for me, there was just such a big orientation of like focusing on the human and like caring about the human and like prioritizing the human and all of that. And that was just a huge shift in, I had never really considered that. And then that place, I haven't talked about this, so I'm not sure if I'll be clear, but that place of saying, yes, prioritizing the human, but then also holding this idea that there is no self. And so that place where it gets turned over to the me, I'm going to take care of me and I'm the most important thing. I don't know if that makes any sense, but.
Yeah, let me see if I'm tracking, right? So we have a lot of language and practice to take care of the human being. And we also have that teaching that we are tending towards, right, that there is no self. And so part of how the conditioning works there is, well, if you're taking care of me, then how is it not egocentric, right?
Right, right.
Right. And here's just some place to look, right, Monica? What takes care of the human being?
Yeah, presence. I mean, right.
Yeah. And so that is really a movement that we are, I love the way Zen does this, right? Because it points to a process which we do, the outcome of which is never articulated. So if I'm used to looking at something through the eyes of negation or self-hate because I'm identified with separation, then that's what I'm practicing. Now I'm training to look at something, an object perhaps, with the eyes of love. That could be the human being. And so now what I'm training in is the process of love. And at some point, as you just experienced in being grateful for practice, that process you're in, which is love and gratitude and all of those things, doesn't have a me. You might say I'm grateful for practice, but there is gratitude for practice, which is sort of an experience of no self.
Yeah. Yeah, because it wasn't coming up as a duality of like confusion of like, but it was just like, okay, this is kind of more of a Cohen,
yeah.
Or it's just like, just to be aware that ego can take over, but that's not what
that's right.
I'm going
yes.
for. I'm going
yes.
for love.
Yes.
I'm, yeah, yeah.
Yes, and I don't know this if it's your experience, but it's certainly my experience that there's an and in life, and it's always an or in ego. It's right, either me or you, self or human, that there are nuances of how we experience, how consciousness experiences itself in a multitude of expressions, as in love for a human being or love for a dog or love for God or love for it or joy for itself. That's what we open up when we get out of the process of a limited perspective of who I am.
Yes. Yes, and yes. I mean, I just, again, I'm just so grateful, and I just think the year-long has just made those dualities so clear. And as Chris said, like, just recognizing when I'm in it as a sign. You know, like, yes. It's just never been more clear, the dualities and where they are and how they exist and when I'm caught in it and what, you know, just, oh, that, you know, that's a sign, you know, the two bad
yes.
choices. If I'm given two bad choices, then I'm not at center, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't
so
have
anyway,
to know
just,
between
yeah.
prioritizing the human and not becoming egocentric, because that very conversation implies I'm headed towards the suffering process. I just drop it and I'm here. And that choice isn't there, right? The world isn't divided into this or that.
Yeah.
It's here for whatever it is that's here.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
How wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And thank you so much. Thanks, everyone. Have a lovely day. And just so happy to be part of this.
Thanks, Monica. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Thanks, Monica. Ashwini, so much in that conversation, and one of the things that was dropping in was how being identified or disidentified can turn into a kind of a duality. And I think, as you two were talking about it, how as we get more skilled at disidentification, we can just lose that fear of being identified, and then you know, more and more in our lives turn towards that gratitude or that place of interest in life, mm-hmm. and then if conditioning happens to be doing something as we're interested in life, then it can be a part of that interest.
Yeah. Well, and to recognize that the fear of identification is also just a movement into conditioned mind.
Yeah, yep. Kind of keep us from seeing that we're in a duality, right?
So, yeah.
Good. All right, I think we've got time for one more, so... Here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Kate calling from Seattle, but
Hi,
not
Kate.
In Seattle. Hi. Good morning. Boy, what Chris just said was so helpful, because that's exactly what I was looking at, although the word, like, duality of identification, disidentification hadn't presented. So I was, and that's so helpful to make it more clear. But what I was finding was this place in practice where, and it's not in all things with practice, but just with, like, sort of like there's certain amount that's allowed at this point, and then beyond that, there's resistance. But what happens in the resistance is, like, don't look at it, because then you're listening to the voices of self-hate. And so mm-hmm. there's the,
wow.
so that is the, yeah, so it does feel like the fear of identification.
Uh-huh. So let me see if I'm tracking, because that's very fiendish, right? So there's a,
oh, yeah.
a way in which, there's a way in which you're controlled at, all right, you could do this much in practice, but there's a boundary line which you cannot cross. So there's recognition that there's resistance there, but the way you're controlled around that is, oh, please don't look there, because if you looked into resistance, then you're going to get identified, which just obscures the fact that we're already identified.
Right. That's so true. And even more fiendish is that it's all presented as very positive. Right? Like, it's more,
oh, gosh.
Look at all the things.
Yeah.
Look at all the things you are doing in practice. So you don't, you know, more of the, like, it's been adopting this really gentle practice, like, oh, don't direct attention to conditioned thoughts and self-hate, you know, keep attention, which is really don't look at the voices or don't look at me from ego. But
it's presented. Don't bring conscious, compassionate awareness into this process.
Right. Oh, wow. When you said that, that is exactly what I will practice, because what tends to then look at that, I don't think, like, I think then it becomes identification, and what's looking is no longer compassionate awareness.
Exactly. That you have to be someone being gentle or positive or whatever without understanding that conscious, compassionate awareness is already gentle and positive and all-inclusive and not punishing or judgmental, you know?
Oh, my gosh. Wow. That's so great. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Kate.
Yes.
And we have to have this kind of conversation to see how caught we are in the calculus of ego, right? Because as you said, it presents the good person thing to do positively and in a very sweet way in order to do what you are attempting to do, which is not get identified, within quotes.
Right. Right. Oh, my gosh. That's just so huge. So thank you so much. And thank you. I just want to say happy Thanksgiving, and I'm so grateful every day and also today.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Kate. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Go happy.
Thank you, Kate. And Shreya, I agree 100% with Kate. That is so great.
So, yeah. Perfect. Well, you know, we have one lit up, happy, grateful set
we
of
do,
practitioners.
Don't we? Yes, we
yes, off to eat
so.
Something healthy, we hope.
Yep, yep. Well prepped.
Practicing
for a
communication in stressful situations.
Yeah.
As a la the email class. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of another wonderful show, Ashwini. And here is our assignment for today. Can you see how the voices are framing your choices to ensure that you never win? Example, the voices push me to stop practicing by pointing out that practice is likely not to be helpful in this situation, while simultaneously encouraging me to try harder. If I quit, I will be made to feel bad for giving up. If I try harder and go unconscious anyway and get identified, I'll be made to feel bad for being a failure at practice. Your assignment, what are the two choices the voices offer you? RL, what you see.
Very apropos to what we were talking about with Kate.
Exactly, yep.
All right. Well, thank you, Chris.
Yes, thank you, Ashwini.
So happy.
Go happy and happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.